Welcome everyone, Gio here. This is GioCast 21. I just got back from an amazing week at Rhythmia, and the place never ceases to amaze me. So I'll share just a bit about that today and some of the amazing experiences I had there. Coming in, I wasn't really sure what my intentions would be. As I was just there not too long ago. And you know, we're wrapping up this leg of our trip, leaving in about 10 days, or as I think I mentioned in my last podcast, we're all really feeling unsure of where we want to be long term and trying to figure out our living situation down here and all that kind of fun stuff. And so I went in and I actually invited one of our team members at Elemental Rhythm, Jeremy, to join me on the trip last minute. And he had never experienced ayahuasca before, but heard about it. Obviously, I talk about it a lot. I was curious, and you know, he left home to come, first time leaving his kids. And also Roxy Moon, who is the producer for a lot of the music at Elemental Rhythm. We're working on a project with Rhythmia to create some really cool breath work and helping with their aftercare program. And so we ended up having the three of us on this trip. And yeah, it was quite the eventful trip. So, you know, first night, breath work goes awesome. Just testing out some of the new kind of breath work meditations for, you know, group coming into Rhythmia, right? A lot of people, first time ayahuasca drinkers and first time with the medicine, trying to create an experience where we're kind of calming down the nervous system, trying to get them to start reflecting on their life and who they have become. Just really see themselves in their truth that will help them to kind of reveal more throughout a week of medicine. And, you know, if you're unfamiliar with the way it works there, it's breath work, Sunday night, then they do four nights of medicine in a row. Thursday night with the Yahe ceremony, which is an all-night traditional ceremony, Colombian ceremony, which goes to the morning, and then we do like a Friday night breath work. And I usually leave on the Saturdays, but then they get one more session before everyone heads home. And some people spend the second week. And it was a great group. I met a lot of really interesting people. DJ Taz, who I like his music, and we may collaborate in the future, and a few other really interesting people that I really connected with. That's one thing I love about the place, you know, like, you can read the reviews online. There's tons of good reviews. There's also, like anything, some interesting reviews or people that didn't have a great time. You know, it's a big place. A lot of people are afraid of like 60 people in a ceremony and 70 people in a ceremony. But for me, I love it. I love the intensity. I love meeting new people. And it's interesting how the week unfolds. And, you know, everyone plays into everyone else's journey, little conversations you have and things that just help make sense. And it's just one of the most wonderful places. And some people may think it's a bit gimmicky. You know, Jerry's an interesting guy, and I think he's the only guy who could have pulled something like this off. And, you know, their vision is to bring medicine more to the West and to introduce it to more of a North American market who really need it and may not go down to the jungle in Peru or in the Amazon for obvious reasons. You know, there's a lot of fear around traveling to these unknown places. You're going to an unknown place internally, and if you're going externally as well, it can make it a bit tricky. But they do a great job, and you know, they talk about getting your miracle, and some people think like, oh, miracle, that's, you know, miracle's like walking on water. But you know, for me, a miracle, although maybe the word is not what I would choose, it's just about having an experience that really shifts the trajectory of your life. It changes the way you see the world, and when the way you see the world changes in an instant, everything changes, for at least for you and the way you perceive it. And so, you know, the week starts, and the other thing about the Yahe and the Colombian tradition, it was kept and guarded for about 5,000 years in the jungle. And then finally, you know, they said, okay, it's time to share this with the world, because the world needs it, because the world is losing their bearings. The world is starting to go crazy, where people don't even know who they are anymore. You know, I'm not sure if they're a boy or a girl or an animal, or, you know, and it's this time of confusion, but this time of realignment. This is some of the ways the elders speak about it. So anyways, so we start the week, and I usually do an ice bath on Mondays when I'm a guest speaker there. And it was a great time. you know, we have this huge ice bath. We're in about, like, I don't know, 700-800 pounds of ice. And it really is a great opportunity to bring the group together. And Jeremy, myself, and Roxy ended up going back in again at the end for a super long ice bath, which is great here in the Costa Rican heat. And I didn't think much of it at the time, but I noticed that when we went back to our room preparing for the Monday night ceremony, Jeremy was shivering a little bit. And I didn't think much of it at the time, but it'll play into the story a little bit later. So my intention this night, I just sometimes just write words down in the beginning of the ceremony about, like, truth and clarity. And sometimes when I'm not sure what my intention is, and I looked up at the board, and I have these three main intentions, which are: show me who I've become, merge me back with my soul at all costs, and heal my heart. And it's an amazing kind of way to bring your awareness with the medicine, because a lot of interesting things come up. And so I take two cups to start. Just kind of relax a bit. Not much is happening. I call for the second cup. Still not much is happening. And then I get up to take another cup, go back, lie down. I'm starting to get some visuals. And usually the Monday night medicine's a little bit lighter for some reason. It's a different medicine, I think, every night. And I go into this experience where just recently I've been realizing, like, my daughter's growing up. And, you know, one of the reasons why we're going back is because she really wants to experience, like, North American school, like, at a desk, and things she sees online and TV and or, like, on Instagram or whatever. And I'm really not crazy about her getting into the Canadian school system for many reasons. One, I'm just really not sure the direction it's taking right now. Two, I think it's really outdated. Like, the things that they teach are probably 20, 30 years behind for what I think kids really need to learn now about, like, emotional intelligence, which they teach at the school here. Maybe more like about computer design and programming and all that kind of cool stuff. But they don't really get access to that in the Canadian system. And as I'm having this experience, I start seeing, like, my little baby and how all of a sudden now she's, like, growing into a woman. And I'm like, geez, I'm not ready for this. You know, I never thought. And there's a stat I read once, like, you know, when they're 18, they spend, I think, 90% of their time with you already in their life. Because they start moving out of the house and, you know, you see them less and less. And it was really hard for me. And I started seeing how, like, in a perfect world for me, it'd be like, she's gonna live with us until she's, like, 40 years old. And, you know, all these kind of ideas about wanting to protect her and not let her go out. And, you know, any boy that comes around, I'm gonna really give them a hard time and make sure, like, what are their intentions type thing. You know, typical dad kind of stuff. And as I'm going through this, I start seeing that I'm kind of projecting all of my fears onto her through love, which I'm trying to justify. It's like, yes, because I love her and I want to protect her. I want to keep her safe. But what the medicine was showing me was that it's more important that I love her and allow her to be who she is and not try to overprotect and not try to protect her from every experience she's going to have in life, because that's kind of how people grow and how to support them and how to love them for being them. And that's unconditional love, because my love has conditions. Like, I want to keep them safe. And it's just, it was this really challenging moment of self-realization. Show me who I've become as a dad, and always kind of almost being like the bad guy, you know, don't eat sugar. And I've obviously, like, they don't know any better as a kid. So there is, like, a balance that has to be made. But I started seeing how, like, I was putting all my fears into that and using that as a way to justify all of my actions and decisions. So I cried and I cried, and I was just like accepting that, yeah, everyone's going to grow. I'm going to grow old. My wife's going to grow old. My kids are going to grow old. And instead of missing the younger times, just really appreciate that I got to spend those times. And it really showed me, again, as always the medicine does, is like try to work less, all these projects I'm working on that I'm super passionate about, and spend as much quality time as you can with the ones you love when you can. And a bunch of other things happened in that ceremony after that, but that was what really stood out to me, and really just really being conscious and aware of, like, how I parent. So about halfway through the ceremony, I'm lying down, I hear this loud thud, like someone collapses, and I'm like, please don't be Jeremy. And I ask Roxy, who's beside me, he says, is that Jeremy? Do you know who that was? Is that Jeremy? And he's like, I don't know. And it woke me up. I was actually sleeping. And I turn around and I see the edge of his tank top that he's wearing. And I see it's him. I'm like, oh, man. And so it's a little bit about Jeremy. He's like, yeah, of course. First time ayahuasca, is a bit nervous, you know, like obviously really in his head, asking questions. You know, he watched all the videos online. And one thing I tell people is like, you can watch 1,000 videos online and hear 1,000 stories. And no matter what you think the experience is going to be in your head, it's not going to be that. It's going to be something completely different. It's impossible to prepare someone about what the experience will actually be like until you have it. And so I go over to try and see what's going on. I sit down, the whole, you know, medical team there. And the one thing about Rhythmia is like, they have so many helpers. They're so, like, the attention to detail is incredible. And the medic was there. And they're like, here, you need some sugar. Because drink some honey water to try to, like, balance himself out. And so he goes back to sit down. He gets himself together, drinks a little honey water. And I'm thinking in my bed, I'm like, oh, I realized what happened. Was that when he was shivering, when he overdid a bit in the ice bath, when you're recovering from cold, your body starts chewing up glucose in your body to create heat. So it's using all the sugar in your body to create heat to warm you up. And I found out later, like, yeah, he was in his room and he was under his blanket for a bit, shivering, trying to warm up. And so that combined with the ayahuasca just dropped his blood sugar and he collapsed. But he didn't know that at the time. I don't think anyone else really knew at the time, but it kind of clicked for me. And I went to go check in with him after the ceremony, and you could see the look on his face. He was just like, what the hell's going on here? So he shared after that in the experience. He was booking his flight home the next day. He was just like, this is not for me. I came, I tried it. You know, I can say that I did ayahuasca, and this is just the ego. I can say I did it. And a lot of people like to say like, oh yeah, I want to try it. And their ego's talking. It's like, that's enough. I can say I did it. Tell people like I've experienced it. And there was a moment while he was like booking his flight and figuring out how to get home the next day that he saw the spirit of ayahuasca just standing in front of him and just watching him. And he noticed it. He looked up and it kind of caught him in his tracks. And it was an intense night for sure. And I just encouraged him, like, look, you know, like this is the process. You know, as the old you starts getting challenged, it could be very hard, you know, but the most important thing is you keep showing up. So we go into night two. Oh, so after that night, Roxy and I go back to our room and we're feeling great and we're playing guitar until sunrise and singing and just having the best after party. And so next day I'm like super tired. I have some calls, business calls during the day. And in the afternoon we're checking out some music that we want to try to use for Elemental Rhythm. And we're talking about maybe reaching out to Krishna Das and seeing if we can use some of his music. So I love using his music. And it reminds me of this video that I love. Where Krishna Das is talking about an experience he had while he was in India. So Krishna Das was a Jewish American who in the 60s, I think, went out to India in search of enlightenment. So with Ram Das and a bunch of the other, you know, American scholars and guys that were just out there looking, you know, for deeper understanding and expanding their consciousness. And in the video, he shares a story of a Canadian guy who shows up at the temple one day and he walks in, and of course he's trying to think of something spiritual to say to Maharaji. This is a video of Krishna explaining this story, so I probably won't get it perfect, but you'll get the gist of it. And he's like, can you teach me how to meditate? And what Krishna Das says, like, Maharaji never taught people how to meditate or any of these like practices. He was always about like love and how's your family and how are you doing and, you know, just talking to people and in a very human way. And so he says, Go to the back with the other crazy Westerners. Just go. And he says, as he's walking back, he says, meditate like Jesus. And so this guy gets to the back and all the other Americans, Westerners are there. And they're like, what did Maharaji say to you? What did he say? He's like, I don't know. He said, meditate like Jesus. Like, what does that even mean? And they're like, well, if Maharaji said to meditate like Jesus, he must know how Jesus meditated, what it was like. And so later on, Maharaji comes back and they say, Maharaji, you know, what does it mean to meditate like Christ? He says the room just, he closed his eyes, the room became completely still. You could hear a pin drop and everyone could feel the presence. And two tears rolled down his face. And he opened his eyes and he said, he lost himself in love. He lost himself in love. And every time I hear this story, it just hits me in such a way, which is so profound. And I said, okay, this is going to be my intention tonight. I'm going to lose myself in love. So I show up for night two. And I know that the second night medicine is like super strong. very visual, very intense. Like the few times before, I've shared another podcast where it kind of really took me on a ride. And so I decided, I'm super tired, I'm just going to take two cups off the beginning and just ride it out. You know, if I take a late cup, I'm probably going to be up all night again and all these stories. So take the two cups, go lie down, and just wait. Again, nothing's happening. I think my metabolism with the ayahuasca, just as I get older, just slows down. And I'm waiting. They call for the second cup. I'm still not feeling anything. I'm just laying there. I'm feeling a little bit drunk on the medicine. The whole second line goes down, and the ayahuasca starts kind of taunting me like it does in her funny way. I have a vision of a cup, but instead of the Rhythmia logo on the cup, it says, lose yourself in love. One more small cup. Something like that. Something funny. I'm there contemplating, okay, just do it. I see some of my friends going up for a cup. I'm like, come on, man. Like, and that's me. It's just more. And that part of me is like, no, just relax. This is your plan. Just go with the flow. Let's just see what happens. And it starts, ayahuasca is like, I'm expecting this visual experience to show me losing myself in love. And the ayahuasca is kind of whispering to me. He's like, listen, like, you need to feel into it. Just start to feel into love. So start thinking about all the things I love. And start thinking about my family and friends and blah, blah, blah. And slowly as I'm feeling into it, all of a sudden, the colors start to come slowly, and they start intensifying and intensifying to the point where my body just completely dissolves, and I'm swimming in this sea of colors, and then I realize I'm swimming in the sea of love, and I completely lose myself in it, and I'm like rolling over and backflips, and it dawns on me that ayahuasca kind of like taps me on the forehead, and it's like, this is the feeling. This is losing yourself in love. This is the same thing that Jesus felt in his own way. But this is it. Like, this is getting there. And they would get there in their own ways, whether through meditation or whatever. They could access these kind of experiences. And yeah, ayahuasca was showing me what that felt like. And it was the most incredible experience where I just lost track of time and just completely dissolved. And as I'm going through this, swimming and rolling around, it must have been a spectacle to see if someone was looking at me, but it was dark there, so I'm pretty sure, like, it was to myself. All of a sudden, my right arm, my complete right arm freezes. Like goes into a spasm or something. I don't know what's going on. And it pulls me out of the experience, and I'm focusing my awareness of my arms. Like, what'd I do? You idiot. How did you do this? In an ayahuasca ceremony, I thought I might have torn a bicep or something bad, because like my fingers felt really weird, like some nerve was like, I don't know, like I couldn't figure out what's going on. And as I'm trying to figure out what happened, the medicine keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and I'm like, this is not good. I need help. So I crawl over with like one arm to the front, and I need to speak to Waleska, who was the shaman that evening. So I'm trying to explain to one of her helpers that I paralyzed my arm. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, I need to see Waleska. And she was a little bit busy at the time, and I just collapsed in a ball on the floor, and like I melted into clay. I completely dissolved there. And finally they're like, okay, she can see you now. As I get up, I just start to purge, and I'm just purging. And I ask, like, what was that? What was I purging? And laughing, the ayahuasca says it was love. And I'm just like, love, I'm in pain, like, help me. In my mind, I'm like, okay, if the ayahuasca can heal whatever happened to my arm, one, I would be like kind of shocked, because this is a real physical pain, and I believe, but I was kind of questioning. So she starts giving me a healing, the feathers, the lotions, and chanting. And when she's done, my arm still feels, I guess in my mind it feels a little bit better, but really it was kind of the same. And she's like, there's something with the bone that is releasing. Just try to rest and relax. And so I go back, and I'm there, and I'm thinking about what's going on in my arm. I'm thinking about the bone, and it flashes me back to this memory of when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, you know, I grew up in a place called Woodbridge, and like 95% Italian. And we were a bunch of like little assholes at the time, you know, like people who are different. We had nicknames for them. Like our nicknames were like Gio or G and like Little Nicky and, you know, whatever. And then, you know, the guys who were different, we called them like Canadian guys, like the farmer. So I'm going for a jog one day with a good friend of mine, Igor. It wasn't his real name, that's what we called him. And the farmer's on his bike, and we're jogging one way, and they come by, and I'm like, hey, what's up, farmer? I give him a little punch on the shoulder. And he almost falls off his bike. And I'd never been in a fight before. And, like, he gets on his bike and he wants to go. He's like, let's go right now. I think he was, like, taking MMA at the time and stuff like that. And so I'm like, never been in a fight before. But, like, we act tough all the time. So I guess, like, you know, I can't back down. And he gets in my face. And I'm, like, trying to scare him off. I'm gonna kill you. Like, whatever. And so we go. And I just start throwing punches. And, like, there's blood everywhere. Like, I really, like, got him good. Like, fucked him up, but he just didn't want to stop. He kept on getting up. I wasn't probably strong enough to knock anyone out at that age, you know, probably like 7th grade going to grade 8. So finally, you know, I'm just like, get this guy off me, like, you know, get this guy off me. And end up walking home, and I look down at my hand, and my bone on my ring finger knuckle on my right hand, like the bone that connects from the knuckle to the wrist, is like sticking out of my hand. I'm like, oh, fuck, man. I fucked up my hand real good. And I went home and I lied to my parents. I told them I fell off my bike. And I was just, like, so ashamed. I went to the hospital, got a cast. It didn't heal properly. A couple months later, to go back to re-break my hand, put a pin in it. I had this weird cast on where 3 of my fingers were rolled up in a ball. It looked like a boxing glove where I just had my index finger and my thumb sticking out. Couldn't play any sports that year. It was super uncomfortable and itchy and, like, just a reminder of, like, you're a fucking idiot, dude. Like, why would you, like, it was so pointless and meaningless, and this is, you pay the price. It's karma. It was such a hard time in my life. I was, like, I didn't really know what depression was that time, but, like, I felt depressed. Like, I couldn't do anything. Couldn't play soccer. Couldn't go with my friends. Every time I take a shower, I had to wear a bag on my hand. And the medicine was, like, bringing me back to this experience. Okay, like, find the love for yourself through this. You know, lose yourself in love comes back up. And ask for forgiveness from this guy. I was thinking about maybe I should reach out to him and call him. So we'll see. I'm still contemplating. Probably will send him a message. I haven't talked to him since probably then. And as I'm going back and I'm, like, healing all these things, I called my friend Tom, who's in ceremony as well, that was trying to give me a massage, really helped loosen it up, which helped a little bit. But it wasn't until after I'd really kind of gone through this whole experience that I start to feel my arm just come back to life. I drank a little bit of water, and within like 20 minutes, my arm, which I thought was maybe like messed up, I'm visualizing myself going to like a specialist, maybe getting surgery, having to wear like a sling, completely came back. And I was like, wow, what an amazing experience. And like how it brought me to release all this trauma. I was carrying my arm. I got some shoulder issues that I didn't know where they were coming from. And I was showing me, yeah, this is all of this kind of guilt, shame, resentment that you've been holding your whole life. And it kind of closed that loop on it. And it was super powerful. It was super powerful. And I was just like laughing at myself, like how the medicine even does this, you know? And actually before that had happened, before I went into that experience, I saw Jeremy and he was like leaving the ceremony. He's like, I'm good. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, I'm leaving. I'm like, what do you mean you're leaving? And it's rare that they ever let anyone leave a ceremony. But this night was super intense. And he's like, yeah, I'm good. And I followed him outside. I was like, had a chat with him. And again, he's like, you know, it was hard tonight. You know, I only drank a little bit, but I got what I came for. And I'm looking at my neck. And no, he didn't get what he came for. Like, you can see when people have the breakthrough, have their miracle. And I knew he hadn't had it yet. But he was still in his head, like, trusting himself, trusting the place. And so, anyways, I'm lying down. Then I have that experience I just explained. After that, like all of a sudden the band comes on, they have live music there, and they just start playing. And the energy just, as I'm recovering my arm and starting to feel a bit better, I pop up and I'm dancing like I've never danced before. And like my arm is 100% better. And I'm like closing my eyes and the band is playing and all I see is colors. And I'm like losing myself in love again, but dancing to the music. And it was like exhilarating. And I realized like how much I love the intensity. Like my whole life has been really intense. And like, I think I thrive under pressure. And again, it was just a beautiful, beautiful experience. Although I'm a little bit worried about my friend, you know, it came to a nice close there. And so the next day comes around and I'm going to talk to my friend. I'm like, listen, man, no pressure. You know, like the medicine's going to really make you question. It's up to you to show up. It's not going to choose for you. Like the medicine never tells me, like when I ask, what should I do with my life or what I got to do? It always points me back to feeling and believing in myself and allowing me to make those decisions and showing me like my strengths and showing me things that I can heal or do better. But it never tells me like, hey, go be a brain surgeon, stop what you're doing, or go get into sales. Like never anything like that. And I knew, like, Jeremy had to make that decision for himself. So he ends up showing up the third night. And I didn't know what my intention was going to be. And I'm like, okay. I asked Maru, who's really good. I love her so much. She's one of the helpers and leaders there. You know, like, what should I do for my intention? She said, you know, sometimes when I can't think of intention, I tell the medicine, whatever your intention is for me, your intention is my intention. So I went with that. Again, took two cups off the beginning, and I just laid back and relaxed. And again, nothing happened. And I just felt really drunk, and I was super tired. Every time I tried to get up, I felt paralyzed. I just went back down. And it just put me in this deep state of relaxation, because what I needed most was to relax. And this night, I sat beside Jeremy because I wanted to feel comfortable, brought him right up to the front to be, like, right in the action where all the energy was. And what I realized, you know, was that I witnessed Jeremy have his breakthrough. But at the end of the night, like, this guy was dancing on the dance floor. Like, I'd never seen him dance before. The music there here is incredible. Like, what they're doing at Rhythm is, like, revolutionary, I think. Like, the way they kind of set it up, the live music, the recorded music, fire pit, the hammocks, it's just, like, an incredible place. And, like, something happened, you know, like he had his breakthrough, and I could see the look in his face. He was, like, glowing and dancing and, like, alive. Like, I've never seen him before. And so he got to share a bit about his process of letting go and trusting, and he was blown away. And so now we come to Thursday, and he's a little nervous. I'm always a little bit nervous for Yahe, but in an excited way. And, you know, when Mitra, the leader, the shaman, asks in the beginning everyone's intention, you know, the one that came to me was just to celebrate life, just to have a life celebration, to have gratitude. And it's also my good friend Meg's wedding that morning. They do, like, a Yahe wedding. She's leaving Costa Rica to move to Canada. I was like, oh, what a perfect night, celebrate life. So this is an interesting night. Buckle up. So I take the first cup. Not much is happening. Feeling really nauseous. I go back up for a second cup. And, you know, Mitra has all these different types of Yahe that he serves. And he asked me, if I'm nauseous. And as soon as I say yes, he switches what he's doing, gives me something else. Goes, drink this first, purge, and then come back. I knew as soon as he said that, it wasn't going to be very long. So I take a sip and immediately puke, fall down, have a really good purge, wait a couple minutes, get back up, have the second cup. And I go lie down and just waiting. All of a sudden, like, I feel my stomach rumbling. I feel like I gotta, like, fart. And so I do, and I'm like, oh, that felt weird. And I never shit my pants. I've been to Rhythmia 20 times, done ayahuasca maybe 100 times. I've never, ever shit my pants. I don't know how it happens, like, how people do it. Like, it was, like, blows my mind, like, how people have those kind of accidents. So I reach down to check the situation, and it's a code brown. My hand is now full of shit. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is not good. So I run to the bathroom, clean my hands, check the situation, and realize, okay, I gotta go back to my room. I'd also never been back to my room before on a ceremony. And so I tell, you know, the helpers, like, listen, I had an accident, I'll go back to my room, I'll be right back. I make my way over there and again to my room, and I'm really starting to feel the second cup, like, kick in, like, really strong. I realize I'd never been in my room in this state before. And I take off my clothes, I hop in the shower, and I start having this nice warm shower where as I'm closing my eyes, the water's rolling down my face. I'm seeing all these amazing colors and feel so, like, nurturing and held. And I started just, like, laughing and soaping myself up like a little baby, a little kid, like having a shower for the first time. And it was so much fun. And I got out, I'm, like, brushing my teeth. I'm laughing in the mirror, making jokes to myself. And I'm like, this is the best. I'm going to maybe do this every single time when Yahe is have an accident so I can go back to my room and have, like, a little reset break. As I'm about to leave, I see this guitar on my bed that I bought for my wife because she's learning how to play guitar, but I borrowed it because I love the guitar. It's a nylon string. And I bought that guitar because I was inspired by one of the musicians at Rhythmia. His name's Cuckoo. He's the most amazing musician, and just, like, the voice. And when he plays on the medicine, like, something happens to a musician when they drink medicine. Like, they just evolve, because they say that the medicine is they're the instrument, and they're singing to Mother Ayahuasca. And you see these guys just beaming with light and smiling as they play in ceremony. I always wonder what it would feel like. I'm like, okay, I'm going to play one song. And so I didn't know what song to play, but I just picked up the guitar and it started playing itself. couple chords, I start singing to the medicine, start singing about life, and I just make this song about like celebration, you know, and I'm just laughing and singing and crying, just having the best time of my life in my room by myself, probably for like 40 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I gotta go back. Although I would have loved to stay there all night, I was like, okay, I gotta go back. Because they're starting the healing circle soon, and the music's starting, the live music's starting there, and I don't want to miss that. So I say goodbye to the guitar and just laughing the whole way back about this whole series of events. I go back, I roll some tobacco. I feel like, you know, like, okay, like it's kind of gonna wear off soon. And I sit outside, and as I'm sitting there staring at the stars, it keeps getting more intense. It keeps getting more intense. To the point where, like, I feel like I'm melting away. I'm like, okay, this is not good. It's not a good space for me to, like, lose it out here. I need to go back in and lay down on my mat with my bucket. So I go back in, I'm laying down, and they're about to start the first healing circle. And I just feel this intensity of something's going to happen. And they start the healing circle. I'm lying on my bed. And I'm just like a little kid. I feel myself growing from, like, 4 years old, 5 years old. And my body is like, stretching and just bringing me back through, like, all those times in my life where, you know, like I was growing and it was so amazing to see and like losing myself in love. So they're healing people. I feel like I'm getting healed. And all of a sudden I'm back in that lose myself in love and my arm freezes again. I'm like, what the fuck? I thought I went through this yesterday. I'm starting to doubt if that healing was real, if I just made it up in my head. It's like the same thing. Like whole arm's getting paralyzed. I can't move it. It feels really weird, like pinched nerve or something. I'm looking at my arm. I'm like, okay, my right arm again. I'm like, I did this yesterday. Like, what is it? And I flash an image of my left arm on my right arm, which was weird. But on my left arm, I have this huge scar from about right on my forearm, the top of my forearm, all the way down to almost to my wrist. It brought me back to this memory. When I was in my 20s, I was at a club, our favorite club, Money, in Toronto. And when they were there with all our friends, like 30 of us, and again, like I wasn't like a fighter. I didn't pick fights, but I was always ready to go. Very defensive of our group. And, you know, we even said that night, like, hey, if anyone messes with us tonight, it's on. It's the night with like 30 friends there. So night's going on. I'm on a dance floor. It's like three-story club. On the main dance floor and with my girlfriend at the time. And this guy grabs her ass. And she tells me, she's like, hey, that guy just grabbed my ass. I'm like, what? So I'm like already red and I'm like angry. So I grab the guy by like his collar and pull him close to me. And I'm like, what the fuck? And like by the time I said the word fuck, a beer bottle smashes right over my forehead. And all I see is like white rage. I can't remember the next series of events. Apparently I jumped on top of the guy, like in the air. He fell back and we were just fighting on the floor. And I got choked out by a bouncer. And I come to in the hallway. I remember kind of being dragged through the club. Come to open my eyes, I look down, and there's blood all over my shirt, and I can see through a rip in my shirt underneath. My forearm is split open probably like 2 or 3 inches wide. I can see like tendons, blood everywhere. I'm just, fuck. And I can open and close my hand, but it feels really weird. Make my way out to the front of the club, like outside, and there's like police there and ambulance and all this commotion. I can see like in the balcony of the club, like the guys, their group, and I'm just like a spectacle. All you can see is my white eyeballs, blood everywhere else, and I'm yelling, let's go, you pussy, what the fuck. And like I was like, I don't want to say it was crazy back then, but like the life I live is very different from who I am now. I was always just like a bit of a wild guy, and screaming and yelling and just finally realized, okay, I gotta get myself to the hospital. Like, I gotta just figure out what's the damage report here. And so there's a running ambulance sitting there that's on, and I jump into the front seat of the running ambulance, and I'm about to drive myself to the hospital. And immediately, two cops grab me, pull me out, like, buddy, you wanna go to jail or the hospital? Like, throw me in the back, like, chill the fuck out, calm down. So they drive me there. I get into the waiting room and I pass by a couple guys that had blood on them. I didn't think of it at the time, but they got up and booted, bounced right away. And I realized those are the same guys from the club. And I'm glad I didn't notice them because we'd have probably caused another commotion there. So anyways, I finally sit down to relax and I have to go to the bathroom. I got to take a crap so bad. And this is so funny because the ayahuasca always brings things full circle and it's funny with me. I remember sitting down to take a crap in the hospital bathroom. And as I push, a squirt of blood comes out of my forehead and like squirts right on the floor. And I just started laughing. It was the funniest thing. In that moment, And also in the moment of the ceremony, because it started with me shitting my pants and it came full circle and reminded me of this little memory that I kind of forgot about. And it was like, okay, like this was a moment in your life. You also had to heal that trauma. Like my girlfriend at the time got nerve damage because she got hit by the bottle too. And I remember going to school with like all these staples in my arms and people asked me what happened. I'm in this business school and I'm like, yeah, I got into a bar fight. And like, I kind of never fit in my business school because like I was kind of different than a lot of the people there. But it really brought me back to that time and allowed me to kind of like heal it. And I started thinking about all these crazy stories in my life. And like, there's so many. And I've thought about writing a book before, but as I reviewed all of them, it's like, I was like, yeah, now it's time to like really share your story and share like how much you've changed from being a kid and all the insights from each time, like all these experiences. And I was just going through my life and my intention was celebration of life. And I was just celebrating like all the hard times, all the good times, like all of the lessons and learnings and gratitude I had for all these experiences. And then reflecting, and it was like, even though I had the most craziest, amazing week, the most beautiful miracle for me was to witness Jeremy's miracle and how we were able to bond this week. And we're so inspired with all the work we're doing, the Elemental Rhythm and all the new things that are coming out. And there's so much more that I would love to share, but I think I'm going to cap it at that. And, you know, we went into the Friday night breath work and it was just amazing and just capped an amazing week. And, you know, again, you see like these 60 or 70 people that come one way and they leave as a totally different person. And even me, like I've been there so many times, people are like, yeah, like there's, you must be screwed up, like having to do ayahuasca this time. But I'm like, there's always more. We hold on to so much as human beings. And there's so many different layers of awareness and perception. And I was able to see these things I was carrying on my whole life. And now I feel so much lighter and free, forgiving myself. Like I used to think about those times, I would get like this gut reaction where I'd feel like ashamed or upset or not good. And I feel like that's gone now. And I'm just super grateful, super grateful. And appreciate like every experience. And if you're going through a hard time right now, trust me, there's learning, there's a lesson in there for you. You may not be able to see it now, but there is something for you to learn about your life, to learn about life on this earth, like a miracle, literally. And if you feel like you've done all the work, there's always more to do at your own pace when you're ready. And it doesn't have to be ayahuasca, it can be breath work and meditation, it can be whatever. And so that brings us to today. And really just looking forward to these next few weeks I have left in Costa Rica to enjoy with my friends, to make music, and head back to Toronto for an incredible summer. So I'd love to connect with you guys. Connect with me on Instagram at Elemental Geo. If you want to become a facilitator, you can reach out as well to learn about breath work. But yeah, I'd love to connect and reach out. Thank you guys so much for listening about this crazy, wild week. And I'll be connecting with you guys soon with another podcast. Lots more updates to come. Have an amazing day. This is Gio. Love you guys. Peace.